It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
What you just heard is Kobe Slagle.
Yep, I've been on a Moneyball kick.
I wondered.
It was on TV Saturday night.
So how much time did you dedicate to watching it?
Oh, I watched it all the way through.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Very good. It's funny, I found...
It's a great movie.
It is a fine, fine film. Also in studio with us is my colleague from the IFJA, also known as Nouveau Zone, Ed Johnsonat. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Matt. How are you? Hi, Kobe.
I am Groot. You are Jackson Pollock.
Absolutely.
Who are we kidding? We are all Groot, and we are all,
Jackson Pollock.
There's a group I follow on Facebook. I think it's, if I remember right, Big Hair and Plastic Grass, which is about baseball in the 70s. And they did a piece, speaking of Moneyball, they did a piece about the Oakland Coliseum, how it is last of the generic...
Concrete donuts.
Yeah, the concrete donuts that were made in the 60s and 70s. So.
Oh, I saw the photo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You enjoyed Moneyball as well, Ed?
Oh, yeah.
Hot negotiating action in Moneyball, so. Okay, opening in theaters today... Well, we have when the game stands tall.
This religious week, sports movie.
they might make that. Who are the guys that do all the parody movies like Epic Movie, Day Movie? Will they make religious sports movie? That sounds like a parody film.
That would
film.
Be interesting.
But of course, this one it's not about winning the big game. It's bouncing back after a loss on and off the field.
And my understanding is that there's a fairly significant. Change in the time scheme on the film.
Could be.
Something that real big that happened in real life is put out of order.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And the coach is Jesus. And his wife is Citizen Ruth.
Wow.
So there is that. Also in theaters for the YA, I guess that's now a term. It's not young audiences. Well, it is young.
YA.
There is youth audience, I guess.
Oh.
Or youth.
I thought you were going to say young.
Young adult literature, I guess.
Oh.
But the film If I Stay with Chloe Martz,
right?
Is Bianca reading? Because she is the youthful one of the circle of film sociology friends.
No, she's not read that.
She's not read that one. I checked in with the
white. I don't foresee that
happening.
No.
There won't be a penis within 50 miles of that theater.
Actually, there will be. They're called dates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those poor men. Oh,
way to take one for the team, guys.
Wow.
Just remember, you get to pick the next one. Unless you're Abdul Kim Shabazz, you pick the next four.
Three.
I checked in with Emma on this one. Not interested. Not interested at all. So there's at least that.
So we have a movie coming out in mid-August that... probably won't be a box office smash.
Are we talking? This is the one that you wrote about in Nouveau that we got to see together.
No, the one you're talking about right now.
Oh, If I Stay.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's they got to put something in the theaters. You know?
Yeah.
So we have inspirational sports movie. We have young audience weepy girl film. We have Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I just saw it this morning.
Oh.
And if you pick up today's Nouveau, and you really should. Pick it up. You can read it online, but actually go pick up a paper and get it in your hands.
You can even take it with you.
And while you're watching the play, you can't take it with you. It is portable and sporty. Because you really shouldn't be bringing a laptop to the restroom. Paper's better.
That's true. Yeah,
paper's better there. So, but opening
and in an emergency, I mean, how much good's a laptop going to do you?
That's know? True.
But
yeah,
a newspaper,
true.
It's there.
Just don't use page 20.
And if you
this.
Read the Star, it's particularly appropriate.
Is there still a Star? There is still a Star. Matt Sully was on the show last week. We
yeah, it's a pamphlet.
We're kidding.
It's very cute. It's almost bigger than us.
But we are Jackson Pollock and Groot. Opening in theaters today is a film. Ed and I have had we have attended many morning press screenings together.
Right.
And I've said this before, and I will say it again. This year we've been on a real hot streak of seeing mm-hmm. stuff in the morning. Films like Tim's Vermeer, Jodorowsky's Dune, Locke, many, many films. And the latest one, opening in theaters. So while August films kind of get a bad rap, except for Guardians of the Galaxy and Boyhood, this one opening is...
And Get On Up.
And Get On Up. You did enjoy Get On Up. But there's a film called Land Ho, with an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, going into this film, I knew a little bit about it because I've seen the trailers. And it's a road picture. It's not a buddy picture, but it's a road picture. And it does involve older people, mm-hmm. but they are not Hollywood feisty senior citizens.
No, they're not rapping grannies.
They're not older actors who want to work with other older actors because they never had before. Las Vegas.
They don't tell dirty jokes. Well,
no,
there's
innuendos, but there's more which we'll get to in a little bit. But
they don't do Betty White style
or
dirty
Cloris
jokes.
Leachman when Betty's yeah. not available. So I really am kind of done with the feisty old people movies. And after watching Land Ho, I really don't need them even more after mm-hmm. watching this, because this is everything you want from feisty older people and a road picture, and it's done well.
Very well.
You have two former brothers-in-law who one is an Australian who's just getting over a divorce. We have an American, not just American, no A in this. He's an American gentleman
uh-huh.
who is a widow and just retired from being a surgeon. And he has flipped the trip to Iceland for his former brother-in-law and taking care of the whole thing
right.
just so they can spend some time together. That's pretty much the film.
That's the film. And here's the thing.
Yes.
It's a road movie where, with most road movies, they're traveling across country and one of them's dying. Or they're traveling across country and the mob is after them. They're traveling across country and one of them is an alien. Or you know,
that's the terrestrial kind, not the over-the-border kind. Although those shows have happened mm-hmm. as well.
This one, they're traveling across country. And the filmmakers realized that was interesting enough. Well-drawn characters and a road trip is enough. Thank you. Thank you.
It's a less chatty version of My Vacation with Andre, kind of. Yeah, you get a relationship, and it's funny because you wrote in your review, you kept waiting for the dramatic shoe to drop, because
right.
we've seen these road pictures. They go on vacation and they meet, and if somebody meets an attractive woman or, you know, a
sideways,
kind of sideways. Yeah, there's that. There is some pot smoking.
Or naked people chase you down the road.
Ooh, gosh, that guy. There is marijuana smoked in this, but it does not lead to Cheech and Chong like shenanigans and hijinks. There are things that are alluded to, but they don't drive the plot.
Right.
They are mentioned, and then they go away, because we are spending about 90 minutes or so with these two gentlemen who are really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the American guy. Now, imagine this. Here you have a guy who sounds like a Mike Judge character. He sounds like he's straight out of
yeah.
King of the Hill.
Yeah, he does.
And he is... He's big and he's brass and he's not afraid to speak his mind, and he doesn't tell dirty jokes, but he does give some innuendo from time to time. There's
mm-hmm.
there's a particular piece where by a series of circumstances which are acceptable to this film, his second cousin, who is considerably younger and very female, shows up with a friend, and they take the cousins out to dinner, and it could go down a path And it doesn't.
It doesn't. Thank
you. It thankfully doesn't. They spend time together, so I guess we can get a breather of just two men talking, and there's a little bit of a relationship in that, and then that goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another female who shows up, and that woman has a moment, and they go away. It's about the trip itself.
And the people.
And the people. And so here's this guy who sounds like, you know, Hank Hill, but he's a retired surgeon. He obviously has enough class and intelligence and taste to go to fine restaurants, drink fine wine. He's in Iceland. Now, somebody who sounds like this usually doesn't want to leave the good old U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case with this guy. He's a fascinating person. And as you found out through research, this is his first acting job.
Well, he's done, I mean, with these people, he's done a little tiny bit, but yeah. Yeah, this is basically his premiere.
He is a real life retired surgeon.
Right.
Hopefully, he didn't have to retire like they did, like his character did in the film. but yeah, it's besides getting really beautiful footage of Iceland and look up that we should work on that list.
It's gorgeous.
Film shot in Iceland. Say what you will about it. There is some beautiful country up there. But between that and the chemistry and the fact that it's not plot driven. There are no Hollywood cliches except for one, but it works, and it's the old guys in robes walking in slow motion while Big Country is playing. I'll give it props because it's big. That's the only cliche that happens in this film, and Big Country gets a check, so they deserve that. That's fine.
I love Big Country.
Obviously, you wrote it in all caps. I think
I was so excited to hear. You know, I love that band.
And I always remember the video because they were driving through the countryside on the four-wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and kind of like the 70s music in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's an easy, cliche, pandering film moment that I usually don't like. But in the case of that, in the case of the Big Country moment, it works.
Oh, and speaking of Big Country, just to be clear.
Yes.
We're talking about Big Country, the big, proud Scottish band, not the local group that does country covers and has added an extra G to their name. And shame on you. I'm sure you're a fine band. Drop that. Get your own name.
Two G's in big.
B-I-G-G country. Some local folks.
But they had to do that.
They're lazy. Lazy and shame on you. You're ripping off someone else's name.
There you go.
It's like, I don't know, calling myself the Beatles with a Z at the end instead of an S.
Don't give any ideas. Don't give.
Beatles.
But yeah, this is so I'm hoping, and this is the type of film that we there are some usual suspects that we see at screenings, and this is the type of film we want to tell these folks, especially the mall crowd, especially the old feisty seniors. This is the film to go see. Don't worry about Las Vegas. Don't worry about any films with Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton. Those will still be made, but give this one a chance.
And I don't want to oversell the movie. I mean, you know, it's not Gone with the Wind.
No.
Thank God.
It's shorter.
But,
well,
still
Iceland,
slap her.
Iceland, well, as you know, Iceland is the Terra of Europe.
My ideal version of Gone with the Wind would have been for Clark Gable in the first 15 minutes to have walked up and said, frankly, I don't give a damn, and walked off and turned off the cameras.
Only if Hattie McDaniel is right behind her, like the line in Airplane with a baseball bat and a boxing glove.
I ain't filled with no epics.
That's right. Yeah, this is. I mean, this is not groundbreaking cinema, but it is a familiar type of story. Actually, two branches of a familiar story: the feisty seniors and the road picture, and it's done right.
And was it Gene Siskel who said, you know, the test for a movie would be, would it be more interesting to just see these people sitting around talking over dinner? Yeah.
Yes, he did say that, because I remember expanding that, saying there are certain films, especially ensembles, where the rap party would be more interesting than the actual film itself.
There was a movie that played at the in Indie Film Festival, that These Hopeless Savages, where I talked about how, you know, the quirky things that they forced into the film didn't bug me, because I liked the lead so much that I would go to the theater to watch them make a grilled cheese sandwich and listen to some music together. That's this kind of movie.
Right.
You know, the Australian guy is a refined, kind, decent man, well spoken. He's also the guy that is always up for fun, but he needs a nudge.
Yes.
Mitch, the guy from Kentucky, the Hank Hill guy, He's smart. He's loud. He's abrasive, but all in an okay way. And again, he's the catalyst. And so the two of them fit together perfect. The Australian guy can roll his eyes at being pushed, but he wants to be pushed. And
right.
He knows it. You know, and just spending time with these guys, you know, and having the scenery on top of that, that's all you need. That's, you know, of course, you don't want every movie to be like that, but when one of these comes around, go enjoy it.
Indeed. That most definitely with this. And I'm going to be intrigued because I know it's two directors.
Uh-huh.
I think this is their second feature, I believe. One, I'd like to see what else. You know, so now these guys are on the radar as soon as I remember their names. But this is I'll be intrigued to see if Mitch winds up doing any other films other than working with these guys.
Yeah.
I think of the young lady from Beast of the Southern Wild, who I thought gave a great performance in that film. That was my favorite film
uh-huh.
that year. And I know she's going to be she's in the remake
Annie,
of Annie.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Emma, you're not going to see a more natural performance from this young lady than what you're seeing right now. Because
uh-huh.
the rest of the time she's going to be directed by kind of big movie directors. And it's gonna look different. It's gonna feel different. It's gonna sound different. So I will be intrigued if this gentleman winds up working again. Earl Lynn Nelson, a lot of fun, fascinating character. He should live with Alejandro Jodorowsky. That would be a fun. that might be the grilled cheese sandwich movie.
There you
Those two making a grilled cheese.
And one of the biggest things that tells you this is a cool movie is it's Land Ho with an exclamation point. Now. Here's the thing with exclamation points. If people are always, they love to bash hipsters. Okay, here's how to tell a hipster. Go on Facebook. A hipster is the person that never uses exclamation points because they're too cool. Use exclamation points. Life is full of things that deserve exclamation points. This movie, that title deserves one, and it's proof right off the top. They're not trying to be cool and good. Cool is such a pain. It's a waste of time.
It's and that's different than saying Land Ho.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have
You've
the same punch.
You've probably not heard about it.
That's right. Yeah. I like Land Ho's early scenes, and then they got too commercial near the end.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, so go check out Land Ho. There's right now, and Ed was on with me on No Limits last week.
Yeah.
And for an August, it's really solid film.
There's
film
a lot
going
of good
now.
Stuff out
there's,
there.
There's this. There's Boyhood, which we absolutely loved. Guardians of the Galaxy is not going away anytime soon. You like Get On Up more than I did. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I respected it. I'm not. I mean, I respected the fact that somebody made a music biography where you like the lead character less when it's over than you do when it began.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But if you go to that for the lead performance. And the music.
Uh-huh.
I think those are the strengths on that. I got to see Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. It's been 9 years since the last Sin City.
And at least 7 since The Buzz.
Yes. It was funny. I watched Sin City again
uh-huh.
yesterday to prep up for this. What did you think of the first Sin City?
I wasn't crazy about it, but it was weird enough. And edgy enough and had an electricity to it, enough that I carried me through, and I was real glad I saw it. I wasn't looking forward to a sequel necessarily, but yeah, it was buzzy.
Yeah, it looks cool, and I know this, and this is 2005, so
mm-hmm.
the idea of, you know, Robert Rodriguez has a studio, that's where he shoots everything now, unless, you know, if you can drag him out of his Austin studio, good for you. But he can shoot things, he can create worlds in the studio. And Sin City is a prime example of that. Everything is shot in studio. It looks cool. The bigger the screen, I was really happy I got to see both of them in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger
it
the
looks like a graphic novel.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It looks like one.
And there are films that I've had that tried to look like a comic or a graphic novel, and they do it in spurts. I think of
The Spirit.
Yeah, The Spirit.
Ooh.
That was the follow up to this. But like, Ang Lee's Hulk. You know,
uh-huh.
there's pages, there's allude, you know, there it's alluded to, but this one looks like a filmed graphic novel from start to finish. It is very noir. I mean, it is kind of the cornball noir dialogue with the
mm-hmm.
voiceovers that Harrison Ford would hate in Blade Runner, and it is the film noir stories. But because it's CG, it's bloodier, It's there's more nudity, there's more shooting, and there's blood of many different colors and styles, and it works. It works for that picture.
And you know what I said at the time about that picture?
What's that?
I said, it's noir or never.
Oh, wow. Gene Shalit, ladies and gentlemen.
Isn't that sad? And there's the proof that I'm not trying to be cool, because God knows a cool guy would never have done that on the radio.
The hipster would say, I remember that song when it was O Solo Mio.
Yeah.
I liked it when it was in Italian. Then it became English and wasn't cool. So there is now a sequel, and it is written by Frank Miller, co-directed by Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez. No guest director this time around.
Uh-huh.
And there are some familiar-looking faces
Uh-oh.
From the first time around. Jessica Alba is back. It is the intertwining stories like the first Sin City. Jessica Alba is still dancing on stage.
And it's being released in the third week of August 4th.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. She is seeking revenge over the corrupt senator, played by Powers Booth, who's also back.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Willis shows up because somebody asked him to, and they offered him more money than the Expendables 3. He shows up as the ghost of his character. Rosario Dawson's back.
The ghost of his character?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, because he's the gruff cop that literally took a bullet to save Jessica Alba. Lucky guy. But yeah, he pops up back in this picture.
Kobe, you notice how long he's talked and we haven't heard anything positive.
But we have some new faces. Josh Brolin's in this. Mickey Rourke is back. He's quite good. I like him in this. And this, if you remember,
there's a positive thing.
This was the first step in the Mickey Rourke comeback cycle.
Uh-huh.
So there are the intertwining stories. Is it necessary? No. Do they get some things wrong? Yeah.
Is it noirish?
It's noirish. There's a lot of Eva Green, Kobe. You know you're going to want to see that.
Besides Mickey Rourke, were you satisfied with any part of it?
I was, but it's still not necessary. Like most sequels, not necessary. It also helps that it was 9 years, although it probably didn't help that I watched the original film yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So it's okay. It's not the worst thing, but I would have been fine probably if they hadn't made a second one. But, seeing Eva Green, watching Mickey Rourke do his – and by the way, you can tell it's been a rough 9 years on Rourke vocally.
Oh. All right. So given a world where most people don't go to all the movies.
Right.
Or even a lot of movies, and where you can watch Sin City tonight if you want to. Is there any need to go do Sin City as Dame to Die For?
If you've seen everything else.
Okay.
That's about it.
I saw the original one, but again, it's been a long time.
Well, you might get something out of this.
Was the first one cool because it was cool, or was it cool because the way it looked?
It was hipster. It was a hipster. I mean, it was the cool colors and the way they melded the actors and made them look like cartoon drawings while still being realistic.
And
it was cool because of the style thing.
It was
right.
also
But was it cool beyond that, or was it just the style of it that made it cool? Kind of like Scanner Darkly. Was it Scanner Darkly cool, or was Scanner
I think it's
Darkly?
Better. I thought it was better than that. I was Scanner Darkly too gabby for my taste.
Okay.
Too talky.
Dude, as Chris Lloyd's, too much human talky.
Yeah, too much human talky. No, and I think also the fact that because Sin City was also one where Frank Miller was directly involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think he finally got tired of other people doing stuff to his work, and he wanted to actually do something to his own work himself. So I think he was satisfied on that part. But I don't even remember if this is based on the graphic novel or not. It's not. It is the noir stories. Eva Green is a woman from Josh Brolin's past, and she wants him to help her out. But she's a noir woman, so you know how that's going to go. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a gambler who goes up against Powers Booth,
mm-hmm.
and physically loses, but he may have lost the battle, but he wants to win the war.
Powers Booth, is he like 100 now?
For a black and white Sin City look, he's looking pretty good.
Well, good.
But it's nice to see him. I don't know if I don't think Powers Booth's going to be in Land Ho.
It's
but he's not. But he's not going to be in Las Vegas either. And if he is, he's the mobster that's going after the feisty seniors.
It seems like he was, being a tough guy back in the 70s. I don't know.
No, you're right. He was a younger tough guy. Now he's an older tough guy. So yeah, it's just there.
Okay.
I liked it, but I didn't need it. So it's junk food, I guess. Cinematic junk food.
August movie.
There you go. It is an August movie. Okay. So, Kobe.
Yep.
Now, do you have your intro? I know it's early. Usually we do this earlier.
Oh, we're gonna do that now?
Because you, sir, have actually seen something that is reviewed in Nuvo, and it's still in theaters.
Yes.
So, do you have your intro?
Oh, man.
You do not.
Well, he's looking. Have you reviewed Boyhood?
Yeah, we talked about Boyhood.
Okay.
Right now, it's number two on my top ten.
Wow.
Number two. Right behind Life Itself.
Wow.
I liked it that much.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Ladies and gentlemen, first off, the Phoenix return of What is Kobe Watching. Not only did Kobe watch something recently.
I've seen some things.
Yes, but you also went to the theater and saw something new. You saw the latest travelogue film from Woody Allen.
Yes, 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 yes.
Magic in the Moonlight.
What's the missing price of the theater now? We go to screening. So.
Depends on when you go. We like to go weekends before noon, catch the $6 showing. It used to be $5.
What's it like? What is it at night now?
10?
I don't know.
I think it's 10. It's 10 here in Indy, and I think it's like 8 in Richmond.
Okay.
So did you spend $6 for Magic in the Moonlight?
Yes.
That's a good amount. Mm-hmm. That's a good amount. I make fun of Adam Sandler for filming his summer vacations and putting him on celluloid. And at least Woody Allen has a better cast and better designs and scenery and semi interesting stories. Mm-hmm. Did you like the film?
Did a little bit slow going at the beginning. We kind of discover early on that they both know what each other is, and they both know each other is a fraud, and who each other is, and where are we going from here? But then there is a twist, and like the twist, so yeah.
Okay. It's a common Woody Allen storyline of a guy who knows he's picked the wrong girl. He knows that she's absolutely wrong for him, but he goes anyway.
And he's a little older than the girl, isn't he?
Oh, Colin Firth, yeah, yeah. It's Colin Firth and
years?
Emma Stone. I don't know if it's 20. I don't know if it's that
28. It's 28.
Really?
Yes, it's 28. It's a Woody Allen movie, man.
Yeah, but Owen Wilson wasn't that old in The Night in Paris.
28 year different.
All right, Kobe, look that up.
It's definite. It's 28 years.
Look it up.
In real life or characters?
In real life.
Look up Colin Firth's age and look up Emma Stone's age. I want it. Fascinating. And you liked it even though it wasn't perfect.
I hated the waste of the supporting characters because they weren't given
if you have Jackie Weaver and Marcia Gay Harden, that's like taking a Ferrari and driving to the end of the driveway and back.
And Hamish Linklater from New Adventures of Old Christine, the
right,
brother.
Right.
That guy's a really great screen presence, and he's given nothing. Just nothing.
Probably just a chance to work with Mr. Allen.
Well, sure,
is
yeah.
The thing, so. And, Eileen Atkins, who I saw in a film I'll get to in a little bit. I'm sorry, Dame Eileen Atkins plays Colin Firth's mother. She's very good. She has a little more to do than the other actors we just mentioned. So Kobe.
There's a biography coming out about Judi Dench called Judi, A Dame to Die For.
No, it isn't. Frank Miller's directing it, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I know. Jeez. Wow.
This won't make the archives.
Oh, no, it will.
Wow.
This might make the end of the year real. So, funny, mentioning Eileen Atkins, there's a film I saw, I mentioned earlier, about feisty old folks.
Uh-huh.
Now, these aren't people in their 80s, but I was cleaning up around the house, and occasionally I pop up a DVD that I've not watched. I was like, I have it, I never got around to watching this.
Mm-hmm.
So I plopped this in. Do you remember the romantic comedy Last Chance Harvey?
I don't.
Hoffman and Emma Thompson. This came out about, maybe about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And, it's set in London. He is he's a musician who does jingles, and he flies to London to attend his daughter's wedding. He is estranged from the family. He's divorced, has not been in the daughter's life all that much, and he finds out in London that the daughter wants the stepfather to walk her down the aisle. stepfather's James Brolin. So, and the ex-wife is played by Kathy Baker. He comes across Emma Thompson, who is also a single, lonely person with heavy, heavy emotional shields, working at the airport. So they have not so much a meet cute, but they have meet self-deprecating talk.
Uh-huh.
And they wind up spending time together walking through London. And it's a romantic film with grown-ups in it. And all the things like what you wrote about Land Ho, I kept waiting for it to happen here. You know, because there is there's a major set piece at a wedding,
mm-hmm.
and a rehearsal dinner. You expect, you know, major revelations or major wackiness. Doesn't happen. Thankfully, doesn't
cool.
happen. And Hoffman and Thompson bounce off each other really well. Really, really well. Apparently, they had worked on Stranger Than Fiction together, and then they found this young filmmaker to make this film for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another example of, and the fact that you can have a film about older characters falling in love, which is more interesting than 20-something dopes falling in love. No offense, Cobe. Because your happy ending already happened, so you're all right. But anyway, it worked really well. And Eileen Atkins plays Emma Thompson's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And not much, has less to do in this film than she did in Magic in the Moonlight.
Wow.
So, but I came across it and I thought that's a nice companion piece after watching Land Ho last week.
Oh.
So, Kobe, do we have an update?
Yes, we do. Ed's right, 28 years. Colin Firth, born in 1960.
Ed's
and Stone,
right.
Born in 1988.
I stand corrected, Ed.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if I say it in a definite tone of voice, you should, man, I know it's right because you know why?
Why?
I read it on the internet. Damn it.
But we all try to be ignorant before going into the theater. That's
I can do that.
There, we can all do that. And I know when Donnie listens to the podcast, he's going to say, see, another proof, another show that says
that says he was ignorant.
We all try to. Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
Wait, didn't we ever hear? I mean, you played the intro for your segment,
mm-hmm.
and then Matt talked, and I talked. Did you get to talk in there?
Briefly.
I liked it. Do you have more to add, I guess? I'm sorry.
No, not really.
Did you see anything else other than Magic in the Moonlight?
Recently, no. Saw Lucy a couple weeks ago.
Did you think hard?
Lucy?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Lucy?
Like Lucy. Is
the whole... love Lucy?
No, that's Ricky's job.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, is the whole point of Lucy that we're supposed to put our lives on a flash drive now because that's what happens at the end? I don't know.
That'll eventually be what happens to us, I think, but not now. I think it was just to be groovy.
Which it was. It was cool.
To pry from our cold, dead necks.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you got two under there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, have not.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know. I've not seen it.
Is Fair Sweet Bianca interested in this? She should, really.
I was, because I remember when it came out, and
this is now
even leading up to it, like earlier this year you were talking about it, and you were looking forward to this as being one of your potentially favorite movies, best movies of the year. And then everybody that I've talked to about it, and I've heard from a lot of different people that, oh my gosh, it's so awesome. Don't know anything about these characters, don't know anything about the story, anything.
That's hard to do when you're producing a film show. Unless you really don't listen to us.
But I mean that's the thing, and that's what I was, she didn't really have I guess an interest in it to begin with, but I mean that's what I was we were talking with a friend and she loved it, and that's what I was explaining is, you know, everybody knows about Spider-Man. Everybody knows Batman, Iron Man,
mm-hmm,
the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
all these characters. Nobody knows anything about these, about the Guardians.
Well, they
of the
do,
Galaxy
but
characters.
They are in their basements right now.
Okay.
You know,
so
writing about being Jackson
you could
Pollock.
You could tell that it's got Chris Pratt from Moneyball.
I didn't realize that he was in Moneyball until I watched it this week.
See, there you go.
We've come full circle in this first half hour.
we've gone from Moneyball to and
back
from.
To Moneyball.
That's great.
And it's just been a half an hour?
Yep.
Apparently.
Listeners, doesn't it feel like we've been talking for hours and hours?
We should get back together once a year and film this for every 3 days for 12 years. And it'll be critic-hood. What is happening at your alma mater, Mr. Slagle?
IU Cinema tonight, 7 o'clock, the 2014 Sundance Film Festival Short Film Tour.
Oh, good. Go check that out.
Yep.
Short films.
And they're going to do that again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then also tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have Closed Curtain. And then Monday, looking ahead to next Monday, we have Obvious Child Monday and Tuesday in the International Art House series. And then, Matt, next Friday, August 29th, it looks like we have the premiere of the Blaxploitation Horror of the 1970s.
Outstanding.
With Ganja and Hess from 1970.
Very controversial, kind of vampire-esque film that I don't think it's even on DVD or Blu-ray. That is
well,
one I've not seen. I know they got it. I know they do. And I know, I think Halloween night, they're showing Blackula. I'm really tempted to road trip down south for that. That's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of scary movies, if you could look up Landmark Cinemas, they just announced their midnight movie series for the month of October.
Oh,
you know they do. Midnight movies are a lost art, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, I know you're tired as all be the next day. It's worth it, I think. Especially
fun.
I work on Saturdays, and I still go to midnight movies on Fridays and Saturday nights. And Landmark Keystone Arts does it in the summer, which I got to go to once this summer. Got to see Cobe there. It was a lot of fun. And then they do it in October. And I should have written these down, but you're at a screen. So you got are you ready for the big announcements?
Go
right ahead. Here we go.
October 3rd and 4th, The Shining.
Okay.
Good choice. Got to see that on the big screen.
Followed up next week, 10th and 11th, with another Kubrick film, Clockwork Orange.
I'd like to see it. I haven't seen that for a while.
On a big screen, too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm sure it'll be a fascinating crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
some people that really, really love that story a little too much, and others that, anyway.
October 17th and 18th, Alien.
The first one, Ridley Scott.
Yes.
Singular.
Yes, Singular, Alien.
John Hurt's great moment there. Mm-hmm. So
October 24th and 25th, The Exorcist.
Ooh. That's, ladies and gentlemen, it may feel slow, and the first, you know, let the first 45 minutes happen, and then it really kicks into gear.
Then finally, Halloween night, and then November 1st, The Fly from 1958.
The original Vincent Price version of The Fly. That's a nice surprise.
So there you go. Keystone Landmark this October.
I got to talk to those guys and get them to book Wild in the Streets.
You do need it. I suggested any of the X-rated Hammer horror films, like Vampire Lovers or Vampire Circus, something, anything with Ingrid Pitt. But yeah, I think you should suggest Wild in the Streets for next summer.
Yeah.
That'll work. Do you have a print?
I've got a DVD.
That's a start.
Yeah.
So I know the IMA is sold out.
That's right. See, again, tonight for Mean Girls and next week for The Godfather.
And then at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin tonight at 7:30 p.m. and tomorrow, this is actually, 22nd and 23rd, The Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Which I've been meaning to show that to Emma because
I hated that movie.
Did you hate it?
Just
really?
Hated that movie.
Wow.
It was just,
this is the original, not Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah, it was the original. Terrible. I just thought it was just this tremendous exercise in excess.
Yeah.
I thought it was big and noisy in place of funny. You know, I wasn't the tiniest, but I mean, aside from the songs, I just wanted it to be over. And I felt like it was endless.
Like this show.
Yes.
Only cooler. Better.
Yes. Only I wasn't participating in it.
We're more Land-Ho than Blues Brothers, so.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about the old band thing, too. And like, it's like I'm just barely younger than dirt. You know, and I'm not even feisty.
You have your other adjectives, which we really can't say on the. You are Jackson Pollock.
I am Jackson Pollock.
So.
Tibbs Drive-In, we got a couple weird pairings.
I love. Okay, I before we get to that, I want to ask Ed because we brought this up because occasionally the drive-in pairings are really weird, and sometimes it's the same studio, and sometimes you're like, why are these two films booked together? I remember there was one where it was Fault in Our Stars and X-Men. Right, exactly. Right, and so my wife summed it up that, well, they were both Fox films. That was one, but Lynn came up with the idea of one for him, one for her.
Okay.
So, do you have any bizarre double features in your lifetime, Ed, that you can recall?
Oh boy. No, I can. This isn't a double pairing, but as far as a drive-in story, my buddy and I, Gary Brewer, went to see an all-night science fiction thing at a drive in on the south side. I will leave it at that. The movie we wanted to see the most wasn't coming on until 4 in the morning. And the place was so violent and so unpoliced that we ended up peeing in Coke cans because we were afraid to get out of the car and walk to the bathrooms. And we weren't dating.
Right.
You know, so this was not an easy thing to do. This was
a difficult task.
Yeah, but it was still fun. But, you know, I mean, you just kept looking out of the side of your eye all the time, wondering if somebody was going to come and crash through your window. And you know. So I won't say the name of the drive-in.
What was, do you remember the 4 a.m. feature?
Oh, I think it was A Boy and His Dog.
From 1975,
yeah,
directed by L.Q. Jones.
L.Q. Jones.
Classic that guy. Was in a bunch of Peckinpah Westerns and pretty much every Western between 1959 and I think 1980. And it was a futuristic with young Don Johnson,
yep,
old Jason Robards, and he's walking the earth with his dog. It's
post-apocalyptic.
And he, apparently Don Johnson,
his telepathic dog.
That's right. He speaks with the voice, I think it was the voice of Tim McIntyre. And apparently Don Johnson had the proper seed to populate the future. And
Middle America has gone underground, and for some reason, they painted their faces white, and they recruit him to fertilize the female population of Middle America underground. And meanwhile, the dog, the telepathic dog, yeah, it's a fun film.
And in that film, Don Johnson also Jackson Pollock. So okay, so back to the Tibbs. What?
One of the main characters gets eaten,
but she has
in the happy ending.
But she has good taste. Last
yes,
line
that
of
was
film.
The line of the film.
What do you got there, Cobe?
Screen one. Let's Be Cops, followed up by Lucy.
Wow, one's a comedy and the other has the Wayans brother. No, that's fine.
I don't. Wow.
Wow, that's they're action movies, I guess. Your review of Let's Be Cops, I use the term, I see films so you don't have to. Ed also took one for the team on that one. You're like, they was like, wait a minute, I have to find it. You were saying, I think, don't take my words in vain. Don't go see this. Fans of Wayans and Johnson, have you ever had anybody read your stuff to you?
No, I've never had.
This is the first. Fans of Wayans and Johnson should watch them on TV and steer clear of this dispose of movie. Really, life's too short to waste on stuff like this. I took a bullet for you by watching this. Don't let my sacrifice be in vain. Thank you, Ed. Thank you so much.
I know the deal on the films being together at the drive-in, though. It would be, this is the dope smokers' evening. You know, you start smoking during Let's Be Cops so that it seems funny, and then by the time Lucy comes on, you're ready for all the trippy stuff. So it would work that way.
Okay, so there's that. What else we got there?
Screen two, When the Game Stands Tall, followed up by Into the Storm.
That's really bad. That's spiritual sports movie, and then the world's going to hell in a handbag. That's a great pairing.
Here we go. This one makes sense. Screen three, Ninja Turtles, followed by Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And three, Expendable, followed by Hercules.
Action.
Old
action guys, younger action guy.
Younger aging action guy.
There's a picture. go to my Facebook. Look me up on Facebook. I'm the only Ed Johnsonot in the universe.
You are.
And scroll through my stuff. You'll see a picture of The Rock in the 90s.
With, oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
That hair.
He's going out. I don't know what he's going out to, but, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that you wouldn't think could try to look like a lounge lizard looking like a lounge lizard.
It was the 90s, and he was a member of the U.
He's wearing a turtleneck.
And a gold chain.
A gold chain, a tennis bracelet, a leather fanny pack, and his hair is like the guy in Kid and Play.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yep. It's
Oh, wow.
Isn't that disturbing?
Do you remember? Are you enough to remember those fashion no-nos, Kobe?
I was.
You were breathing.
This says The Rock in 1996. I was 9.
You were probably watching The Rock back then. Yeah, that's how he looked. Yeah, but now he was
on date night,
not the film date night. But he was, and now he's all buffed. And you thought Hercules was okay?
Do we
have that? I think we can use that for a film reaction. That's good.
I really can't say anything more than that.
That's good. How do we spell that? E-H-H-H-H-H. All right. Let's take a short break, and okay, we'll talk about what is new and old on DVD and Blu-ray, and then we have a dead person I like, and then I have a sequel. I found out there was a sequel to a movie. Now, most sequels are unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
This one, it sounds like the people involved with this one knew absolutely nothing about the first one. And I'll share that with you when we come back after the break. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point at WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Oh, that's the other one.
That's the old... That's the old
no
Tyler. No Tyler on that one. That's too bad. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Hanging out with Nuvo's Ed Johnsonat. We're both grilling Kobe Slagle on why he hasn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, among other things. So we're happy about that. Going to what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. The big title that came out this week, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
The story, of course, is that Sony owns the rights, and they're going to keep pumping out Spider-Man movies until you pry them from their cold dead hands. And if Andrew Garfield gets too old, they'll find somebody else.
Is he the Menudo of superheroes?
Yeah, kinda. Or the rock bands we grew up with that had the featuring.
Yeah,
Spider-Man featuring Andrew Garfield. This time around, he fights Jamie Foxx, and I'm still kind of bitter that I really didn't need another reboot. The first three were sufficient.
I like it better than smirky Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, if Andrew Garfield was directed by Sam Raimi,
would be something.
That would be something. And I know Paul Giamatti is not in this enough, and I think he's underused, but I think he's going to have a bigger presence in the next film, which will be coming out probably next year, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, not really necessary. There's lots of whiz-banging and flying and
various Spider-Man chicanery.
Various action, blockbuster action stuff happens, but really not necessary at all.
Mm-hmm.
Also out on DVD and Blu-ray is a film I know we both like. This was part of our quality time in the mornings. we now, because of this, don't need... So we have a film like Lanto where we don't need any more feisty old people on road trips.
Right.
And with the film Only Lovers Left Alive, we don't need any more vampire movies for a while. So we thank Jim Jarmusch for that.
Yeah, that was a nice movie.
Tom Middleton and Tilda Swinton are their lovers. And you don't really know until maybe, I think, 15, 20 minutes into it that they happen to be vampires.
Yeah.
He's an underground musician. She is living overseas. She comes back to dilapidated Detroit like there is any other. And they reunite. And, oh, by the way, they have to drink blood in order to stay alive.
It's hipster turned up to 11.
Yes. So the snarkiness is one louder. Isn't it? So,
and at night they drive by Jack White's old home.
But they don't bite him.
No.
Sadly. So anyway, these, of course, Kobe, you don't tell Bianca, but these vampires don't sparkle. But you should rent it. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a real movie. It's a real movie.
It's terrific.
It takes its time. It is a slow-paced film, but it is not a slow film. There's a difference. I think Land Ho is the same way. It's not a slow film.
It takes its time. It's leisurely.
Yes.
They're old. They can't walk that fast.
It's leisurely. So we have leisurely old people and leisurely hipster vampires.
There you go.
You're set. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, I wound up watching this the other day because it's written and directed by John Turturro.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know where his Transformers money went into. And this is a guy, I remember he directed his debut, I think it was about 20 years ago, it was a film called Mac. He also did a very bizarre musical called Romance and Cigarettes that had Susan Sarandon and James Gandolfini singing, among others. And he made a film called Fading Gigolo. And it stars Turturro as a guy who's he works in florists, and his old friend, played by Woody Allen. This is the rare Woody Allen acts in a film that he does not write or direct in.
Mm-hmm.
And he winds up, Woody talks Turturro into becoming a small-time male prostitute. Not Fred Garvin, not John Voight. But just a kind of a regular everyday guy whose clientele turned out to be Sofia Vergara and Sharon Stone.
Of course.
But it's not, the tone of it is restrained. It's not Deuce Bigalow. It's not Fred, like I said, it's not Fred Garvin. It's not Midnight Cowboy. But I think they treat the material respectfully. There aren't any really cute jokes about John Turturro, but I think he's got to be in his mid 50s? If that. Playing a male strumpet.
Yeah.
This could be, you know, a lesser filmmaker would have made this extremely broad and pander to the mall crowd. And this does not do that. It's odd, but it could be a lot worse, but I think they handled the material well.
Hmm.
So the film I mentioned earlier there's a sequel. They've made a direct to DVD sequel to Jarhead.
No kidding.
Yes. Guess what? Sam Mendes, not involved. Jamie Foxx, Jake Gyllenhaal, not involved.
Okay.
It's one of those. So, Kobe, would you look up the plot summary for Jarhead? For those who don't remember, Jarhead is Sam Mendes, who directed American Beauty and Revolution Road, and this was his war film. And it's kind of it's sort of a dark comedy because it's guys who are overseas ready to fight and they have nothing to do.
But Jake Gyllenhaal shows off his body a lot. There is something. It's very, very nice.
Pause button used quite often on that one.
Not quite that. It's very, very, very nice.
That's good, Jackson. but it's the, here are these guys that have been trained to, you know, get ready to blood, you know, to shed blood and kill or be killed, and they're out in the desert just kind of wasting time. Not everybody's favorite rah-rah flag-waving picture, but that's for a lot of people, that's what happens. So, it just has. Do you have the info up, Cobe?
On Jarhead from 2005.
No. Now look up Jarhead 2.
Okay.
While he's doing that, a sequel that I'm waiting for is Thelma and Louise 2.
The first scene, they go, whew, that was close.
Little known fact that you probably know, but... Thelma and Louise lived. When they made the movie, they went off the cliff, just exactly as you saw, and then they landed and drove away. the filmmakers intended it to represent the great leap forward. These preview audiences were outraged because to them it was just a visually impossible scene. So the compromise made was they freeze frame in mid-flight they go off the cliff.
Yep.
They only do it for a second, and then they go to a montage of the photos from earlier in their adventures.
Correct.
The reason they go to the montage is if they linger more than a split second, you'll see the dummies. That, you know, it's very clear that it's dummies in the car. But the bottom line is Thelma and Louise lived. They got away.
There you go.
So there you go.
And they're still around. They did selfies earlier this year.
Oh.
They had a nice reunion shot of that. You're right there, sir?
Yeah.
You got it?
Got it. Jarhead 2.
Who's involved with that?
Who's involved?
What do you got up
who's
there?
Who's involved? Oh, man. I don't know any of these people.
Exactly. Yeah. Is there a plot summary?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
All right.
I want to see how these filmmakers, not Sam Mendes, are going to make a sequel to a Sam Mendes film that I bet they more than likely haven't watched.
Battle-scarred and disillusioned by the war, Corporal Chris Merriment is put in charge of a unit whose next mission is to resupply a remote outpost on the edge of Taliban-controlled territory.
There's going to be action in this film.
While driving through the hostile Helmand province, a Navy SEAL flags down their convoy and enlists the unit on an operation of international importance. They must help an Afghan woman famous for her defiance of the Taliban escape the country. Without tanks or air support, Merriment and his team will need all the courage and firepower they can muster to fight their way across the war-torn country and shepherd the woman to safety.
Is there any reference to beefcake?
You better send Ed a link to the cast list and see if that does anything for him. I'm thinking there's no sarcasm in this particular feature.
No, it just sounds like a war movie. It doesn't sound anything like Jarhead.
No, exactly. But it's a familiar title.
Jarhead.
And they'll just end up still jarheading.
Still in the jar.
I remember, and this happened earlier this year, when Lone Survivor came out on Blu-ray,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Mark Wahlberg recruiting film. Not recruiting Mark Wahlberg, recruiting the service. But they had the big display. This was at the Meyer near my house. And they had a big display of enjoy, as much as you can, enjoy Lone Survivor and these other war classics.
Classics.
You know what the two of the war classics were that were on display?
What?
Jarhead and Green Zone.
Well, there you go.
along with Act of Valor, which was that's the other military infomercial made into a cinema. But, ladies and gentlemen, just because something involves the military doesn't necessarily mean it's a war classic favorite.
Let me tell you what. If something, this is one of the things that's most annoying about lazy writers. If anything's old is classic. When they did the remake of Lost in Space, they talked about the classic 60s TV series.
Nobody apparently saw that series.
There was nothing classic about this show that had an old queen running around flapping his arms and a robot flapping its arms. For God's sake, it was wretched. It wasn't good as camp. It was boring. It's even, oh, good God.
No, it's, oh, the pain.
Oh, I'm telling you, and Danger, Will Robinson.
No kidding. We just have a little bit of time left, and I want to talk about a dead person I like, because we don't have time for dead people we like. Actress Norma McCarty passed away at the age of 93. She appeared on Perry Mason. She appeared on The Adventures of Superman. But she's best known for two things, being married to Edward D. Wood Jr., and she also played Edith in Ed's 1959 classic Plan 9 from Outer Space. So, and if you know the Tim Burton movie, it's the Sarah Jessica Parker character. So thanks, Norma. Thanks for putting up with Ed, and thanks for being a part of Plan 9 from Outer Space. One last final note. Don't forget, tomorrow night at Garfield Park, it's a free event, but you can see the film Labyrinth. So you can see an old David Bowie and a too young Jennifer Connelly.
Fantasy film.
Of course, Bowie's older now, but that's going to be a lot of fun out at Garfield
pervy.
Park. Saturday at 7 o'clock. Ed, I always think of you when we play this. Here are some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Ed, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You have no excuses. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.